This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Wood, your host, and we're happy to have you with us today on Peace Talk. You know, one of the things that we hear a lot about in Christian circles, and particularly the evangelical church, is about God and mission. We know about missions. All of our churches have missions programs. It's an emphasis in our church. But do we really understand where mission actually comes from? Oh, we understand the Great Commission that Jesus said, you know, go into all the world. But is it more than that? Is it deeper than that? And I think it is, and so does our guest today, because our guest is Dr. Ross Hastings, who's just released a new book called Missional God, Missional Church. And he has some really interesting thoughts on the matter, and that's why we have Ross Hastings with us today. Ross, glad to have you on Peace Talk.
Glad to be here. Thanks so much, Larry.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into your book.
Yeah, sure, Larry. So I'm a Scot by nationality. My parents are Scottish, were Scottish missionaries in Angola and Zimbabwe, so I really grew up in Zimbabwe. Then I had a first career in chemistry teaching and research. But I began preaching probably when I was 14. I preached my first full sermon when I was 17, and had a hunger and thirst for God and to serve Him. I became a pastor after my PhD in chemistry. I left chemistry after that and became a pastor for about 20 years. Did my master's at Regent, pastored in three cities in Canada, and ended up going back to do my PhD in theology at St. Andrews in Scotland. And I've now been teaching for 7 years here at Regent College in the pastoral theology area, although I'm returning actually to serve in the pastorate again on September 1 and continuing part-time here at Regent.
So what we're talking about then in terms of your life is you've been a blend of the secular world, and if you want to call that, I mean, teaching chemistry and things like that, but then you've been deeply involved in ministry, but also now in the theology, and you've brought all that together, haven't you?
Yeah, I don't really believe in the distinction between the secular and the church. It's all one under the Lordship of Christ, of course. But it's being in the so-called secular world has certainly impassioned me to be involved in mission and to help the church speak missionally in such a time as this.
Well, in your book, let's get right into it. The title is Missional God, Missional Church, and I believe your premise is that mission is not something that God does. It's who God actually is. Comment on that and pick up the conversation right there, if you would.
Yeah, it's both, actually. God is on mission, and he is vitally engaged in mission right up to the present time, but that's grounded in his inner being. God, the way we know who God is in his inner being is through the revelation of the Son and the Spirit and through the Word of God. And he is on mission because God is, at his very heart, the missional God, the God who loves the world. You know, I think the gospel has not lost its power, Larry, but I think the church has lost an understanding of the gospel, the idea that God is actually in his inner being for us and decided in eternity past to send his Son and to send his Spirit. The way we know that who God is because of those two sendings. God has sent his Son and God has sent his Spirit. And those words sending are the words missio. In fact, in the history of the church, since the time of Augustine, that was how we knew the word mission. It was the mission of the Son and the mission of the Spirit. God sent his Son to be incarnate and to live and die for us. He sent his Spirit to enable us to come to know Christ by regeneration. And that word missio was tied up with the sendings of the Son and the Spirit, which is a revelation of who God is. Inner processions of the Trinity are revealed by the missions of the economic Trinity, if you like. And so at the very heart of God is this sending, the sending nature, the sending character of God. So mission is indeed rooted in his very nature. But he is active in the world today. He obviously sent his Son, and now he continues to be active by the work of the Spirit, who... without the Holy Spirit, we have no hope of being missional. And the very core of my book is based on John 20, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And he breathes, the Lord Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit into his disciples, so that they were the continuation of the mission of Christ on earth in the power of the Spirit. So God is on mission, and our job is to participate with him in his mission.
I think so, the question I'd like to ask you at this point, or perhaps even maybe just to comment on, I've grown up in church all my life, and I've been exposed to missions programs and things like that. And occasionally, if you're not careful, you would get the idea that first I'm a believer, and then I get to choose about whether I want to go on mission or not. But would you say that the misunderstanding I might have about the optional nature of mission is because I don't understand that God is on mission in a way that's not optional? It's a part of his being. He can be none other than that.
Yeah, and the key to that, of course, Larry, is that we are in union with Christ. You know, in Christ is probably the most important prepositional phrase in the New Testament. We are in Christ. So if Christ is missional, if Christ is the sent one, we too are sent ones. And that's the point of that great phrase in John 20, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So yes, indeed, we don't have a choice. When you come to faith in Christ and you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you are on mission. Mission is your identity. Yes, you do things with regard to mission, but first of all, it's who you are. Because you are bonded with Christ, you're ensconced in Christ by the Holy Spirit, and therefore you participate in his mission. It's very freeing. That can sound like a heavy burden, but it's actually very freeing. Mission is not something so much that I do, it's something that I do as God does it. I look for the Holy Spirit is at work ahead of us. You know, for every church in North America, the Holy Spirit is resident in that church, and we as church are bonded with Christ. But the Holy Spirit's also at work in our communities, and the key to being missional, I think, is to prayerfully, reflectively, contemplatively look for what the Spirit of God is doing in our communities and participate with what he's doing. He's always at work ahead of us. The book of Acts is precisely like that. You know, someone has said the book of Acts is not the Acts of the Apostles, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. And the church in the book of Acts is so filled with the Spirit that mission becomes easy. I think we have the misconception that we have to do this as individuals, but the message of the New Testament is that the church itself is the first missionary. And if you look at the book of Acts, the quality of the life of the church in the book of Acts demanded an explanation. And it was because of its life and power that people couldn't help but be attracted to it.
What do you think of the idea? I've been taught this, and I've agreed with it, is when you start the book of Acts, Luke, the writer, more or less says, I gave you one book of the work of Christ, and now this is the work of Christ that is continuing after his ascension, his resurrection.
Indeed, yeah. That's a powerful statement of what I'm actually saying here. It's a statement that reflects union or participation. All that I began to do and to teach is the book of Luke. All that I continue to do and to teach through the apostles in the power of the Spirit is what the book of Acts is about. And so, yes, indeed, the book of Acts is a fulfillment of all that happens in John chapter 20, where Jesus breathes on them, and I believe he breathes on them in anticipation of the day of Pentecost, and on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit comes. And the church is united with Christ, and it continues. It becomes the hands and feet of Jesus to the world.
Well, when you write a book like this, I think in the back of your mind, you are attempting to either throw light on something that needs light or to correct something that you believe is perhaps misunderstood, at least in parts of the church. So did that motivate what you're writing? You're actually trying to correct perhaps a misunderstanding or a truth that has been lost?
Yes, absolutely, in a number of ways. I think, first of all, an emphasis on the Trinity and the gospel, which I think is missing, realizing that the very nature of God, by as revealed in the sending of the Son and the giving of the Spirit, reveals to us that God is for us, and for the church to recapture that sense that God is for the world. But then also the idea that because we are in Christ by the Spirit, that we are also the sent ones of God in our very identity. So the idea that mission is sort of a section of the church, or the, you know, sometimes we have mission statements and we talk about, or vision statements, we talk about the worship of the church, the teaching of the church, the caring of the church, and fourth, there's a sort of addendum, or one of the four, the mission of the church. And I want to argue, as I do in this book, and along with other missional church authors, that mission is the very identity of the church. And that what we do when we gather as the church is we press into understanding the heart of God and who He is for the world. I don't think the missional church is the shallow church. It's the deep church. The deeper a church is in its communion with God, with the triune God, the more empowered it is to be missional. The deeper a church is in its grasping and living into its union with Christ, the more it is, if you like, delivered from its enculturation. I think the North American church is so enculturated, we don't really realize how much we've imbibed the culture in so many ways. When a church lives deeply into the narrative of the gospel, deeply into life in the Spirit in Christ, it then lives out that gospel as a community, and also its individuals are scattered to live out the gospel in all kinds of ways in the world. I think one of the things I'm trying to correct in the book is that all that we are involved in as Christians is the Great Commission. I believe with all my heart in the Great Commission, obviously. But the Great Commission, I think, is a subset of the Great Commandment, to love God and love neighbor. And actually, both are within the wider framework of the cultural mandate, which was given us in Genesis 1 and 2. And I believe the call of Christian mission is to help people become fully human, to be restored in their relationship with Christ, and to discover what it means to become, as Irenaeus said, human beings fully alive. The idea that the gospel is just for souls being saved, that language is problematic. It's Platonic language. The gospel is to enable human persons to discover, yes, reconciliation with God and what it means to become children of God, sons and daughters of the living God, living out their life in the last Adam and fulfilling the cultural mandate. And all of those three things go together. The more human I am in the proper understanding of that, in the Christological understanding of that, the more human I am, the more effective I think I am in inviting people into life in Christ.
Our guest today is Ross Hastings. He's the author of the book, Missional God, Missional Church. We've got to take a break right now, but Ross, when we come back, I'd like to pick up the subject. Do you believe that the American church, because it puts so much emphasis on personal salvation, personal relationship, may have lost some of the community ideas that the gospel is really related in? We'll pick up with that question when we come back. This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace.
Substance abuse, inappropriate relationships, cutting, social media. Do these issues sound familiar? How about the biggest one of all, America's teens' declining interest in the things of God? These are just some of the challenges that parents and teens are struggling with in today's culture. Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry is a biblically based half-hour weekly radio program equipping you with insight for today's culture from a biblical worldview.
Monday mornings at 11 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Home at last. Dear Lord, you know what a rough day I've had at work. Please help me to leave all my stress outside so I can focus on the precious people inside. Help me to give them my undivided attention without distractions of the workday. Amen.
Mommy's home!
Mommy!
Here's the beautiful family I've been missing all day.
For tips on spending quality time with your family, visit facebook.com/makeeverydaycount.
Before we rejoin today's program, let me say thank you for listening to Peace Talk. Each program comes with the prayer that you will find the peace that Jesus desires for you to enjoy today. But I'd like to take a minute to tell you about the website, peacetalk.com. Go to peacetalk.com and you'll discover that Peace Talk is more than teaching and great stories. We offer opportunities for bringing peace talk to you and your church. If you're caught in relationship-destroying conflict, at peacetalk.com you can access relationship-restoring services. You will also find seminar retreat opportunities for your group. And at peacetalk.com you can read the blog and sign up for our free email newsletter, Peace Mail. Follow us on Peace Talk and Twitter. And please, don't overlook the donate button, because Peace Talk needs your help. Peace Talk is all about you finding peace. Let's rejoin our program, and remember, Peace Talk is your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Woods, your host. Glad to have you with us on Peace Talk today. If you stayed with us through the break, glad to have you back. I know you're interested in our guest today, Ross Hastings. And if you're just joining us, you say, well, hey, tell me a little bit about Ross. Well, he's the author of a book, Missional God, Missional Church. And so we're going to go right to Ross. And Ross, for the benefit of anybody that's joining us, briefly restate the premise of your book. And then we want to go to the question that we ended the first half with. And that is, do you believe that our culture and its emphasis on personal things, autonomous things, and the church's emphasis on personal relationship and all that sort of thing has diminished our understanding of community, and that has diminished our understanding and practice of the missional God? Okay? I think that lays us out for a little while. For the audience, Ross, tell us a little. Go ahead. Restate what was the premise of your book, Missional God, Missional Church.
Yeah, the premise of the book is that who God is, as the triune God, is profoundly missional. He sent his Son, he sent his Spirit. That is how we know who God is, in fact, is by those missio, those sendings. And because we are one with Christ and we are ensconced into the very life of God, we cannot help but be missional ourselves as the church and as persons. In John 14, when you read in John 20, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you, you need to read that in light of the context of John's gospel and things like when the Holy Spirit comes, John 14, verse 20, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Surely that's the most powerful verse in the New Testament. It's because we are one in Christ and Christ is in us that we are sent ones also. And so the heart of my book is to suggest that we are by identity missional people, which moves way beyond programs. That's who we are. But you asked about individualism, really, Larry. I think that's one of the key pieces in realizing that human beings are made in the image of God, and therefore we are actually not individuals per se. Individualism is very much our culture. It comes from the Western Enlightenment, modernity, that we are individuals, self-made, self-actualized individuals. But a Trinitarian understanding of humans is very, very different. God himself is three persons in communion, and he has created us. And by way of analogy, we also are persons in relationship. We are persons in communion with God, with one another. Our identity is formed by others, by our mother, by our father. We are relational beings. It isn't an exact analogy. It's not a univocal relationship between humans and God. But we are, by analogy, we also are persons in relation. And how individualism has affected the church is rather sad. I mean, the idea, for example, that there are 20 million Christians in North America who don't attend church is fundamentally a contradiction of the gospel that calls us into community. Even the idea that I personally receive Jesus, that's a vital truth, and we do need to personally receive Jesus. But in the New Testament, that was very much associated with becoming baptized and being incorporated into the church. And the idea of a sort of an unchurched Christian really is an oxymoron, ultimately because we reflect who the triune God is, and also because we've been birthed into Christ with millions of other believers, and so we're part of the body of Christ, and that's meant to be expressed in the life of our involvement in the life of the local church. Even when it comes to mission, I love what Leslie Newbegin said. He said, Jesus called his disciples to be fishers of men, but he did so by forming a community. And really, it's the community of disciples and the church itself, which is such a powerful, is God's powerful tool for mission.
Let's take that question then, because as we're in the second half of the program, we don't have a whole lot of time left. Let's talk to the person that's listening to us who's not a theologian, is not a pastor, who doesn't have that kind of, say, influence in the church, and they hear what you're saying. How do they in their life connect with the missional God? What is it that perhaps keeps them from connecting, and how do they get connected to this concept of the missional God creating a missional church?
Lovely. I think one of the most fundamental challenges we have in the Christian church today is that we have not understood that God is, first of all, desirous of relationship, of the familial, if you like. Because often the gospel is preached and as a gospel, what I call maybe sin management. It's all about our sins and how we need forgiveness, and of course we do need forgiveness of our sins, and Christ did die to take away our sins. But God's first thought for humanity was always filial rather than forensic, if you like. It's that He loves humans, He loves people, and He draws them into relationship with Himself. And I think the most winsome thing I can say is that God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have drawn us into His triune life. We are brought into that communion. We are beloved in Christ. God woos us to Himself, and He wants us to share that love with others. He wants us to be in sharing that love with our brothers and sisters in Christ, perhaps in radical ways that have not been seen in the church in the past. I think, you know, this idea of coming to church. And we're scattered all over a city. We come to a church and we're together for an hour and a half, and we expect that somehow is going to make an impact in our community. I really believe that what makes an impact on our community is when people really live an authentic community, reflecting the life of the Trinity, reflecting the gospel and the way they treat one another, and then, of course, spilling over with the love of God into the neighborhood, touching the broken in our neighborhoods, ministering to the poor, bringing people into the wholeness of humanity in Christ. So how I would encourage people is get involved in that. Press into the life of God. Seek to know afresh the fullness of the Holy Spirit and walk out your Christian life in identification with Christ.
I was impressed years ago because I was in a personal journey in transition from a more law-based kind of life to a more grace-based life. And one of the things that helped me, in the sense the light go off in my head, was when one of our pastors talked about living out of the nature that you've been given by the gospel, as opposed to working hard to be kind and gracious. And in Ephesians chapter 4 was the context in which these things were said, you know, be kind and gracious and tenderhearted and forgiving. In the old way, I'd say, well, I got to work on that this week. But he was saying, no, it's already in you. Live out of it. Is that what you're saying here?
Yes, in many ways I'm saying that. I do believe our call to the Christian life is evangelical and not legal. How does Paul motivate us in his epistles? He gives us the indicatives of the gospel before he gives us the imperatives. And it's as we live into the gospel that we are drawn into and wooed into the life of Christ. And it's as, of course, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and as we draw on abide in Christ, that I think is the key. So that's why I say, you know, the missional life is not just do. It's be first. You know, like it's contemplative. It's enjoying and being saturated with the love of God, realizing how much you have been forgiven, and realizing that you are a child of God who's treasured by Him, and who then empowers you to reflect that love to other people in all kinds of ways.
This program is about peace.
Yes.
And like I say, find hope, get help, discover peace. Are you saying that perhaps the unrest in many people's lives is the disjuncture between this doing and being, and that there's great peace and great freedom, and you already used that word once, in understanding these concepts and then asking God to help you see how they work out?
You know, nothing could be nearer the point of my book than what you've just said, Larry, because When Jesus gives the Great Commission, what I call the greatest commission in John chapter 20, he couches it in the very language of peace. So when he first encounters them, he says, "Peace be with you," and shows himself and his hands inside. And they, I believe, in this first statement of peace, they were actually to enter into that peace and absorb it and internalize it. And then he says, "Peace be with you again." And this time I think he's meaning, I don't want you just to absorb my peace, I want you to disseminate my peace. And then he says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." So I think this goes back to the very heart of what God wants for human beings, and that is shalom. He wants us to live in the shalom, what he intended for creation, what he has brought about through the reconciliation in Christ, and what is that which we can live into and help bring to our world. I believe that part of mission, a crucial part of mission, is helping to bring shalom to the world.
So a prayer at the beginning of the day for the person that's listening to this program: Lord, help me to see what you're doing in the world and how you want me to be a part of that today. That would be a legitimate prayer?
Beautiful prayer, yeah. Let me receive your peace afresh today, your shalom, that I might share it with the world. Lead me by your Spirit so that I may discern what you're doing in the lives of people to whom you call me.
And this is tapping into, I've come across, of course, 2 Peter chapter 1, when he says, these exceeding precious promises have invited us into the divine nature. And
yes,
that's where we find ourselves as believers today, isn't it? Right in the middle of the divine nature of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Peter uses the word koinonia, that we participate in the life of God. If it wasn't for that, the task of world evangelism and bringing mission to the world and bringing shalom to the world would be utterly hopeless. But I'm just so glad that we are given by grace the opportunity to participate in the mission of God as we live into his life and receive his power to do this.
Well,
and it's a participation that is that leads to all that God has for human beings.
Well, we've talked a lot in this program. You've used the word many times, the gospel. And I've asked that question. Well, I don't understand how the word gospel fits. But the good news is that you and I have been invited into the life of God. And when we come into the life of God, we receive the life of God. We participate in the life of God. And we participate in the eternal life of God. So if anyone's listening to the program or something has struck you here, understand the good news is that God invites us into his life, into a relationship with him. Jesus shed his blood for it. The Holy Spirit implants us in it because the Father willed it. It's his kind intentions, and his grace was lavished upon us. That's peace. It brings peace, and it brings us the life in God. Thank you for being a part of Peace Talk today. May it always be the place you find hope, get help, and discover peace.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.